This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Hoodats. It is Week 15 action. The Saints hosting the Washington Commanders, a noon start here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. The Bud Light countdown to kickoff coming up 10 a.m. with the Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon. Will be able to break down all the action for you in this matchup. We, of course, too, are talking Saints versus the Commanders in this matchup. We've gone over, obviously, Jaden Daniels, a tough one going to be to try and contain the mobile quarterback. Jake Haener making his first career NFL start. And we really didn't get into another former Saint back in action in this building too much in the last hour, Jeff.
A former Saint?
Yeah, Marshawn Lattimore.
Oh, Marshawn Lattimore. I forgot about him. They traded him, and he hadn't played. I mean, it's like he doesn't know how to do anything but play inside this building. Does he know where the visitor's locker room is? Should we make him a map? Should we put up signs like, Marshawn, go this way, not this way? Yeah,
Lattimore with the arrows, yeah.
Yeah, and so Marshawn's going to play his first game in a Commanders uniform. I'm interested. Like, I don't know how angry Marshawn is, like, actually angry. Like, how angry are you when you get traded away from a situation that's really probably not going anywhere to a team with playoff ambitions and potential Super Bowl ambitions with a first-year head coach who seems really well-liked and a rookie quarterback who has an incredibly high ceiling? You know, one thing that's interesting about that the Commanders' defense. So Dan Quinn is their new head coach. What do you know about Hofstra football?
I just know Marcus Colson.
Yeah, that's, you know, Marcus Colson. Yeah. Marcus Colson and, like, Wayne Corbett.
And they're no longer have a football team, right?
They don't. They were in 1998, you're talking about the Hofstra Flying Dutchman. And who was on that staff if not Joe Woods, the Saints defensive coordinator? He was the defensive backs coach. But also Dan Quinn, who was the defensive line coach. Also on that staff, Kyle Flood was the offensive line coach. He's now the offensive coordinator at the University of Texas. And also Raheem Morris was a grad assistant on that Hofstra coaching staff, now obviously the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. So this defunct football program has had four major coaches on its staff at that point. Like, that's crazy. They stopped being a program in 2009.
Right.
They changed to being the Pride. So when Marcus Colston was there in the early 2000s, they were the Hofstra Pride. But, you know, it's just kind of weird. Like, of all the programs to have these connections, it's Hofstra. Like, that's a heck of a coaching staff for a team that only existed for, like, a decade after that.
We were talking about Marshawn Lattimore. Will he have that extra motivation going into this game against his old team? Well, here's what Latt had to say.
Of course. I mean, I'd be lying if I said it didn't, you know. Because, you know, it's like they traded me away. And, you know, I'm going back to some, you know, why they shouldn't have. You know, I'm glad, I'm happy where I'm at, but you know how it be, you know. Extra motivation for the game, that's all.
Just a little extra motivation for the game. So I thought it was kind of interesting there, Lattimore saying, they traded me away.
They did trade him away.
It wasn't like he was, obviously, then. It doesn't seem like he was vying for get me out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was just kind of an undercurrent of his last two seasons with the Saints, of like, when you are – when you are in the situation the Saints are, which is, you know, not a high confidence index playoff team. Like, you're a fringe playoff team at best. If things go your way, you win 10 games, you get in. They don't go your way, you get injuries, you win 6 to 7 games, and you miss. You know, like, that's a point where, hey, okay, we have an asset here in Marshawn Lattimore. Does it make sense to continue to ride with him or to turn him into a few young players? And the Saints obviously opted to do that. And, you know, again, like, Chase Young's in a similar situation with the Saints right now. Like, he was on the Commanders. They drafted him number 2 overall. He was the Rookie of the Year, dealt with injuries.
It
last
doesn't
year.
Feel like he was with this team last season.
It feels
Washington.
Like a lifetime
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, they traded him to the 49ers. And kind of like the Commanders, it's like, hey, this is a team with a lot of upside. He ended up going and playing in a Super Bowl. How angry can you be at the team that traded you when they put you in a position to go play in a Super Bowl?
Right.
But I think professional athletes have this kind of mode. They just flip it on and off of, like, I need motivation. So whether I was slighted by this or not,
man,
I'm going to believe yeah. I am, because that's going to help. Michael Jordan was the king of doing that. He would, like, make up stories that people did to like, no one was trashing Michael Jordan, but he, in his mind, had this, like, corner that he could sneak into where he would trick himself into believing that everyone's doubting him. You know, like, no, we know you're great. But he needs that, because that gives him motivation. And then he goes out and he, like, ends careers because he's just myrtleizing people. But, and Marshawn, I'm sure, wants to do that today. Now, what level is he at?
Yeah.
You know, how is he in this new scheme? I don't know how they're going to utilize him. Is he going to get a full array of snaps in his first game action since, what, when's the last time he played L.A., the Chargers game? I mean, it's been a while since he's been on the field. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's on something of a snap count. Because the Commanders are looking at this in the long term. Like, they're not looking at it like, okay, we desperately need to beat the Saints this week. They're thinking, like, hey, down the line, we need this guy healthy.
Especially if they do make that playoff run, for sure.
Well, exactly.
Right?
So they're not going to just throw him out there, you know, maybe a little under 100% just because it's a revenge game for him. And I asked Tyrann Mathieu if, like, revenge game is a fair word. He said, not really. Like, no one's going out for revenge against Marshawn and vice versa. But, you know, any time you get on the field, you want to put on a good showing against your former team. And this is no different.
You mentioned Tyrann Mathieu. He talked about the return of Lattimore and what he wants to see out of today's performance.
I mean, part of me just want to go at him all game. And then part of me is like, nah, don't let him make no plays. You know what I mean? Keep it a quiet game for him.
Yeah, I got a feeling that side of the field is going to be awfully quiet today. I don't know if Jake Haener is really going to be testing Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I think if you're Jake, you say, hey, Marshawn, you're going to hang out over there by yourself. We're not going to throw at you. And that's why, you know, assessing cornerback play is tough. Because if you're an elite cornerback, you don't the ball doesn't go your way. Right? And that's why, so you don't get a stat for that. You don't get a stat for perfect coverage other than, like, a PFF grade that no one trusts anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you get passes defense, but that's if they're throwing at you, which means that they think they can beat you. So it's this really weird dynamic of, like, okay, I shut down this side of the field. And that's why I almost think Marshawn gets bored at times. Because, you know, that's why I think he plays better in matchups where you have an elite wide receiver that he can kind of sink his teeth into, like a Mike Evans or, you know, whatever. Like, if it was Terry McLaurin, it'd be like, that would be a great matchup. Now, obviously, he's not covering Terry McLaurin. But the matchups that Marshawn tends to get into trouble with are when you go up against a team where it's like, okay, I guess I'll have covered John Ross. You know, like, who's out there? And that's kind of what we're going to be with the Saints today. Like,
MVS can jump on him today.
Right, right. He's a guy who you put out there because he can lock up and take away somebody. But who are you taking away for the Saints? MVS? You know, I don't think he wants to be constantly sprinting, running go routes all day either. So it's going to – I don't know how they're going to handle it. Are they going to play sides? Are they going to have him follow Kevin Austin? Like, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. So, you know, it's going to be cool to see him out there. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of hugs in the pregame and the postgame, maybe a jersey swap. Who do you think he's swapping jerseys with? I'd say Tyrann.
Whew, yeah, that's tough. I would have to go with Tyrann too, like you mentioned. Maybe a DeMario?
Yeah, I guess DeMario. DeMario would make sense. Maybe a Cam Jordan, yeah.
I need all of them. Collect the whole set.
Give me all of them. But no, it's going to be an interesting matchup. And if he picks off Jake Haener, you're not going to hear the end of it.
You got the chance to talk with Tyrann a little in the locker room, and you asked him about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders in this matchup.
What are some of the keys to stopping a guy like Jaden who wants to run around and, you know, make plays with his legs?
Yeah, I think you guys have to do a great job of, you know, just kind of building a wall You know, setting good edges. When he does run, you want to make him kind of cut back to the teeth of the defense, to where everybody is. So, because he's one of those guys, man, once he gets on the edge, you know, he got enough speed where he can run past everybody in his locker room. And so, you know, I think everybody just kind of doing their jobs, you know, setting good edges and, you know, just that effort, that hustle to the ball.
Looking at this matchup, Jeff, too, we're hearing, you know, Jaden Daniels worrying about that escapability, that scramble. We're going to see, you know, basically Willie Gay be assigned to shadow him.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you can only do that in base. I don't think they're going to take Pete Werner off the field. Maybe they will. Maybe, like, in the nickel coverage, you send him out there and say, spy Jaden. But it's tough. I think this is one of those games, and you saw this in Week 3 against the Eagles. You're better off hemming a guy like Jaden into the pocket. Like, you want him to have to beat you from the pocket. And what Cliff Kingsbury has done really well is create a lot of easy throws, like quick completions. And that's why you have a rookie quarterback with a 70% completion percentage. He's going to set a rookie record for completion percentage because Cliff Kingsbury has made things very, very simple for him, and he's executing it at a high level. But, you know, I don't think this is a game. Like, last week you saw the Saints basically living in the backfield for the Giants. I honestly don't think that's necessarily what you want. Obviously, you want to get pressure, but you want it to be controlled pressure. And if I've been frustrated with Chase Young this year, it's been because I see too many reps where he overrushes the quarterback and you leave this gaping hole on the backside for the quarterback to either extend into or just run. And I think that's, you know, people are going to complain. I guarantee it, we're going to hear at the end of this game, oh, they didn't get enough pressure on Jaden. I think a lot of the time you're just kind of sugar rushing and trying to hem him in because you do not want him to escape.
You don't want him to get loose at all, right?
If this game comes down to Jaden Daniels' ability to beat me with his arm from the pocket, that's the game I want to play, and that will be a victory for me. Now, I don't know if I'll win the game, but that will be a victory of my process, of my strategy working. If he's constantly getting flushed and running, you're in trouble. That's not a win for you. Like, you have to pick your poison here, and I think that's the one. So, you know, I think that's going to be a key is not, you know, and you talked about the over-under. Like, if you bet the over on Jaden Daniels' rushing yards, there's a chance that one play is 40 yards, right? Like, if you misplay it one time, he can burn you, and especially second and long, third and long. You got to take advantage of those downs. So it's going to be fascinating to see how the Saints approach it. I know there's been a little bit of frustration along the defense in terms of, you know, maybe not being aggressive enough on the back end. Tyrann Mathieu has been a little frustrated. If you were watching that game, if you saw it late in the game, he came off the field, slammed his helmet down, like very upset about the way the defense was being called. He thinks they need to be in more kind of robber coverage, just take advantage of him in the backfield, not just have him be out there covering grass, right? And so, it's interesting because you look at this and, you know, Joe Woods was never brought in with the intention of calling defensive plays, right? He was the backup. He called plays in the preseason, but it was always going to be Dennis Allen's show. Dennis Allen is gone, and so you're kind of seeing the team adjust to Joe Woods as a play caller, and I don't know if it's always gone as maybe the way that some players would like.
Yeah.
But I do think this defense has played pretty well under Joe Woods.
I thought it was interesting you brought up on the Inside Black and Gold podcast the fact that there was that, I guess, the mic on field caught somebody saying they're out here calling plays like I'm not even around.
It was a weird situation.
And Tyron claimed that, saying, oh, that was me.
Yeah.
And to me it was like, oh, the offense is afraid of Tyron, so they're staying away from it.
That's
that wasn't
what
the case.
Saying. Yeah, so basically what happened is someone heard that, and they thought it was Malik Nabers. So you're calling plays like I'm not even effing out here.
Right.
And they said, oh, Malik just yelled this. And Tyron actually took credit for it and said, that was me.
That was me.
And, yeah, I think a lot of people interpreted it as what you thought, which is like being a little arrogant and being like, hey, the Giants are calling plays like I'm not even here. You can't call that play when I'm here because I'll take it. And, no, that wasn't it. He was upset about his own team's defensive play calling. So there's definitely some frustration there. And we'll see. You know, I do think there's a balance where, you know, maybe they are better off being cautious and having Tyron kind of play that center field. But you're talking about Tyrann Mathieu. He's the honey badger. He takes what he wants. He wants to go get the ball.
Right.
You know, so it's a balance. It's a balance. Because if you're too aggressive and you get beat over the top, you're not going to be like, well, you know, great, we played robber coverage and then it got burned. So it's tough. You need to let Tyron kind of be Tyron. But I think it's worth noting because you're going to get to the end of the season. You're going to have to make a lot of decisions. One of those decisions is, how did this defense operate under Joe Woods? You lost Todd Grantham. He went to Oklahoma State. He's going to be their new defensive coordinator. So you're down a man in the defensive room, right? Darren Rizzi said there's no immediate plans to hire someone into that role. We'll see if that changes over the next 3 weeks or so. But no, I think the way this defense operates post Dennis Allen is fair game, and you got to look at it.
Yeah, then there's going to be a ton of questions come the off season from head coach to then the rest of the staff as well, as like who ends up staying on. And obviously, if you're bringing in a new head coach, they're going to want to bring their staff in it too. So they've got a lot of interesting decisions coming ahead for sure.
No, and like this game next week, the Raiders game, the Bucs game, whether you're in the playoff conversation or not, right now you are. If you lose this game, mathematically, you might not technically be eliminated from the division because, you know, the NFC South, no one wants it, right? But for all intents and purposes, a loss today would basically end your chances. You got 1% chance going in. Once you get below 1%, that's nothing. That's marginal. This is an audition for a lot of guys. It's an audition for Darren Rizzi. You know, I think they did what they needed to do last week, which is bounce back from a loss. And take care of a team that you should be better than, you should beat. Now you need to put up a result that you can be proud of, that you can point to, because right now you don't have that. Right now you have wins over bad teams. I need them to go out and beat a good team, which the Commanders are, before I start to take that seriously. It's like, oh, we might actually roll this forward.
You're looking at the rest of the division today. The Buccaneers are at the L.A. Chargers. They're 7-6 playing at the 8-5 L.A. Chargers. And then we don't get the Falcons game until Monday. That's a doubleheader Monday Night Football. You've got Bears and Vikings, but also the Falcons are at the Raiders. Hopefully that the Silver and Black can help us out a little and hand the Falcons another loss there.
Sounds unlikely.
Yeah.
Sounds unlikely.
We'll see if they can bounce back and